All right, well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. Christmas is over. Deal with it. It's January 3rd. This is a good time to talk about New Year's resolutions. What do you want to improve on? What do you want to get better at this year? Who's got their New Year's resolutions on track? Or one, good job. Who's failed already? Anyone failed? I've already failed. There we go. Thanks. I've already failed. The goal was to eat healthy this year. So what do? You go crazy on New Year's Eve. Had burritos, got a half gallon of ice cream, stayed up till 9:15. It was wild. The problem is when you get a half gallon of ice cream, it's still there the next day. You don't eat all of it. And we don't waste food in my house, and I'm a great parent, so I'm not going to let my kids have that ice cream. So long story short, I broke my New Year's resolution because I care about my kids so much, so I've had to have ice cream every day. What do you think the number one New Year's resolution is? Yes, everyone got that. Wow, that was quick. I bet you know it. It's losing weight. That's right. 70% of resolutions are self-improvement. Losing weight, going to the gym, getting in shape. Going to the gym is the worst this time of year because everyone's doing their New Year's resolutions. Everyone's there, and all the college kids are there, and they lift more than you and just make you feel bad about yourself. But it's just a crazy time of year. But after weight improvement are a bunch of other self-improvement goals. Getting organized, learning something new. And then there's money-related resolutions, make more, spend less. And then there's some relationship stuff, spending time with family or finding the love of your life or things like that. Now here's the next question. What percentage of people do you actually think keep their New Year's resolutions? 1%? 2%? No, a little better than that. 90? Wow. No. I hope so. 8%. 8% of people actually self-improve. So let me start the year off by congratulating the 8% of you who are going to improve this year and offer my condolences to the 92% of us who will fail. I bring up resolutions because they're important. It's important for a church community to think about. What are we doing here? How can we grow as followers of Jesus? Resolutions are important because it isn't just about losing weight or it isn't just about getting organized. There's a bigger reason we do those things. There's a reason beneath those reasons. Behind all of those resolutions is this goal to get life, happiness, fulfillment, or something. We do all of these things. We make all these resolutions because we want things to get better. We all want the life. So each year we make some resolutions, and maybe we even keep one or two of them. But every year that life seems to elude us. Well, God has something to say about this, and we're going to look at a story together about a man who doesn't beat around the bush but comes to Jesus looking for life. There's a story in the scriptures in the book of Matthew about a wealthy, powerful young man who comes to Jesus with the best resolution. He's resolved to get eternal life. And what makes this guy so interesting is he isn't like the down-in-the-dump, desperate guy. He doesn't have leprosy. So often people are coming to Jesus with some huge problem like leprosy or something like that, and it's kind of hard to relate to those people because you might not have leprosy or some illness. But he's doing good on the outside. He seems like he's got it, his things together. He's got things in order. He's young. He's got some power and authority. But he's searching for life still. So even though he looks good on the outside, there's still some things that aren't coming together. He's just as desperate as everyone else. Just like all of us, he doesn't have it together. So he comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, I want real life." And now, before we look at this story, I just want to say one prayer and hope for all of us this year. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, if you don't believe, we're so glad that you're here and you're welcomed here to explore and figure out and search what you believe. And if you do believe, all of us are in the same boat. We're looking for life. We're looking for things to get better. And my hope and prayer for all of us this year is that we as a community would find real, genuine life. And Christians are meant to experience real, genuine life. And all of us, I think, God made us to experience the real good life that he has for us. And in this story, Jesus gives some of his thoughts on that. And that's why we're looking at this story. We want to hear from Jesus what he has to say about this. So this man comes to Jesus, and you can follow along up there, and it's Matthew 19. A man came up to him, to Jesus, and said, "Teacher, what good thing should I do so that I can have eternal life?" But he said to him, "Why are you asking me about the good? There's one who is good. But if you want to enter the life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" But Jesus said, The one that says, you shall not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely. Honor your father and your mother, and you must love your neighbor the way you love yourself. The young man said to him, I have cherished all of these. What am I still lacking? And Jesus kept saying to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give the proceeds to the poor, then you'll have a treasure trove in heaven. And then come on, live your life following me. When the young man heard this teaching, he went away heartbroken because he had many things. So the man comes to Jesus. He's acquired a lot in life, but he doesn't have the life. He doesn't have that life. So he's wondering if there's something he could maybe do to acquire it. Perhaps a grand gesture will put him in good favor with God. Can he donate a new wing to the temple? Jesus immediately shifts his thinking a little bit and reminds him that there's only one who is good. There's only God who is good. This is an important redirection because Jesus isn't in the business of just giving advice. He wants the man to see God. He wants the man to see what God has to say on this matter. So only God can give the answer to this question about eternal life. And then he says this, if you wish to enter the path, keep the commandments. If you want to enter that life, keep the commandments. He's talking about the Ten Commandments, or the law of God. This is the answer that God's already given in the scriptures. And they can be summed up in two broad categories, loving God and loving others. In other places, they ask Jesus, what is the greatest command? And Jesus is very simple and very clear with them. You must love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you must love your neighbor just as you love yourself. The path to life is in keeping the commandments. Jesus isn't playing around or trying to trick him. He's trying to tell him clearly, there is one who is good, God, and you have been commanded to follow him and find your life by loving him and loving others. That is life. That's what he is made for. That's what we're made for today. That's how Jesus lived. This is for all of us. So there's some back and forth after this. He's haggling with Jesus a little bit. He wants to pin Jesus down and get things to be a little more specific. So he asks him, so which commandments? Jesus lists some of them. He shares some of the ones that focus on loving others. He does this because these are the ones that you can really tell whether someone's doing or not. It's not that loving God isn't important. It's that you can kind of fake that. You can show up to church services. You can tell people you love God. But Jesus gives them the specific ones about loving others because those are the ones you can really see. If you're loving God, it should lead out into you loving others and loving your neighbors. And so Jesus gives him that list. And sometimes you read the Bible and it's confusing. Has anyone ever read the Bible and been slightly confused at times? Yeah, so sometimes you read it and it's confusing and you think, how can I apply this to my life? This one isn't a head scratcher. Jesus is remarkably straightforward in his advice. If you want the life, there is something that's better than losing weight and something that's better than getting organized. The commandments of God, the one who made everything. Whatever you believe about Jesus, especially if you're a follower of Jesus, these would be great resolutions for this upcoming year. So Jesus gives some ways to love others, and you can see them up there. Don't murder. Let's 100% of us keep this year. But Jesus explains this command further in other places. He says, the command is don't murder, but the person who gets angry with his brother is in danger of judgment. And the person who cries out, you fool, is in danger of hellfire. Our anger, our meanness towards others, our frustration sometimes that result in anger, those are destructive things. A great resolution for all of us this year, or for many of us, would be to let go of that anger. What if instead of this year lashing out in anger, you committed to building people up? Or what if this year, when you did lash out in anger, when you overreached and you got frustrated and couldn't handle your emotions, you made a commitment to going to those people and apologizing and getting things set right this year? He says, you must not commit adultery. You want to find life this year. Don't commit adultery. Be faithful to your spouse and to your kids. If you have to gain weight this year but stay faithful to your family, do that instead of losing weight. This is a huge one. This is a path to life. Jesus talks about this too. Don't even get down the path of lust. Don't even get down that path. This is a thing that leads to life this year, to be faithful to our family. Don't steal this year. Don't be a taker from others. Instead, work hard so that you can be someone who gives to others this year. Don't testify falsely. Don't lie this year to yourself or others. Tell the truth this year. Commit to being someone who lets their yes be yes and their no be no. Commit to being someone who thinks, I'm going to do all that I can this year to being honest. That's the way to life, to not self-deceive yourself or to self-deceive others, but instead to be someone who tells the truth. Honor your father and your mother this year. Go take care of your parents this year. Go care for and love the people who cared for and loved you. Even if they did a bad job, then forgive them and find ways to care for them. I know, I remember my father, there was a 3-year period where my grandmother was getting worse and worse and in a home, and my dad spent 4 or 5 nights a week going and visiting her. He didn't get to the gym those 4 years, but I think he did something that honored God and made God smile and made God rejoice. He kept a commandment that year. That was a better resolution than self-improving. Loving your mom in her late years, wonderful. Love your neighbor as yourself. What about loving a neighbor this year? What about finding the names of the people that live around us and going to them and knocking on some doors and caring for some people this year? That's how God's calling us to love this year. These are very different resolutions. They aren't about us and our self-improvement plan. They're all about how we are made to find life in loving others. If you want a New Year's resolution from Jesus, this is a great place to start. These would be great. These would be life-giving, even if you picked one of them. Now, there's one big problem. Regular New Year's resolutions have a 92% failure rate. These are harder than those. Can you cut out lust, anger, pay back your parents, work hard to give a lot away, reach out and really start loving your neighbors? Have you already failed at these? Do we fail at these all the time? These are really hard to do. This is God's top 10 list for how to live. He made you to live this way, but they're really difficult. This should lead us to realize something, and it should have led the man to realize something that asked Jesus this. We can't keep these commands, even though they are the path to life. Now hold on to that tension for a bit, this issue of these are the right answers. This is the way to life, to love God and to love others with all your heart and with all your soul. But hold on to that tension that though this is the way God's given us to live, we can't keep it. Because Jesus will give this guy another opportunity. He'll give him another resolution. And it won't make things easier. I'll give that away now. This man counters Jesus, though, and says, I've done all these things. Not only have I done all these things, I've cherished them. Now, I have a hard time believing that that's true, because I know how difficult it is for me to do that. But let's give this man the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's lived wonderfully by all these commandments. Jesus then says, okay, if you really, really, really want life, then I got something for you to do. Jesus kept saying to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give the proceeds to the poor, then you'll have a treasure trove in heaven. And then come on, live your life following me. The second resolution that Jesus could give this man and to help his life get better, sell your possessions, take all that you've acquired, take that money, give it to the poor, and then come on, find real life and treasure in heaven as you follow me. I don't think 8% of us could keep this resolution. This is beyond the Ten Commandments. Nowhere is this expected of any of the prophets or priests or kings in the scriptures. Why does he give this man an impossible command? Jesus is showing him something essential. He can't get life on his own merit or his own goodness. It is impossible. He will fail. We will fail if we seek to get life on our own merit or our own improvement plans or in making the best New Year's resolutions. We will fail. This man needs something outside of himself to find real life. There is one thing he needs to love God and to love others. There is one thing he needs that he doesn't have. He doesn't have Jesus. And Jesus is the way to this life. And Jesus knows that this man will fail in all of his attempts for life if he doesn't have him. So Jesus looks to the heart of this man and is trying to get him to loosen his grip on what will keep him in the way of following Jesus. In Mark's account of this story, it's so beautiful. It says he looked at him and he loved him. And I love picturing this story because he looks at this guy and he loves him. So he's trying to understand him. You can put yourself in this place, Jesus looking at you and understanding you. And Jesus is sitting there looking and understands, this is what's keeping this guy from me. And before he says this impossible command, he loves him and says, all right, now, if you want to be perfect, let go of the things you're holding on to. Loosen your grip. Then I promise you there's a treasure in heaven waiting for you. And then come on, come and follow me. Are those mine? Is that? No, it's not. Okay. All right. It's Chris's. Sorry. The man goes away heartbroken because he had many things. This is so sad. He doesn't go away unimpressed or dismissive. He goes away heartbroken. He knows Jesus is right, but he won't let go of those things. After the man leaves, Jesus and his followers, they huddle together and they talk about what just happened. Jesus tells them plainly, it's really, really hard for someone with earthly riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's true, and it's more than just money. It's hard for people, I think, who have success or power or something that we find valuable in this life to find real life. It's hard because there's so many good things that give us a little bit of life but don't really satisfy us. But they aren't altogether bad. Most of the time, there's these good gifts that God intended us to have. Authority or resources or sex or relationships. These are all these gifts from God. But what happens in life is that we make them the precious. They start out by giving us some life, but we chase them down as our ultimate things. They become these idols, and then these idols can never satisfy us. They can never give us the life we want, and we grab onto them. What are the things that you'd never be willing to part with? What are the things that give you security, comfort, peace of mind? If you would encounter Jesus, really face him, you would see first that he really loves you. But then he'll say to you, go and sell that. Then I promise treasure in heaven. And then come on and follow me. He wants to pry those things away from us. Even the good things that become our idols, and especially the bad things he'd love to pry away from us, so we can let go of them and really, really grab on and take hold of him. Now, even more so than the first call to keep the commandments, this second call to go and sell everything is even more impossible. It's not something we can do. It's not something we'll be able to do. Jesus' followers, they realize how impossible this command is. And then after Jesus explains how hard it is for people to get life and how impossible and how seemingly difficult it seems for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, the disciples, the followers, they all sit there and it says this. It says, they are astonished, amazed. Then they ask Jesus, who then can be saved? How can anyone get this life? Jesus looked at them, and he said, for mortals, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. For mortals, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. With human beings, with us on our own merit, this is completely impossible, but for God, absolutely everything is possible. And just as this story begins with Jesus slowing the man down and saying, wait a second, only God is good. So now at the end of the story, Jesus brings them all back again to God. And again, only God is good. Only God can save. Salvation is not attained by the ones with great social skills or religious discipline. It is not something a comfortable person can attain by generous grants. You can't donate a wing to the hospital or become the most humble person on the planet. It isn't really hard and then attained by only the few best people who work really hard. No, it's impossible for man. Getting on the road to life requires a miracle work of God in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. And here is the amazing, joyful hope of this passage. And here is the joy we can take and the hope we can take into 2016. Here is the resolution we can grab onto. Not something we can do, but what God can do. For God, all things are possible. That's the New Year's resolution that you can keep. You can trust this year that for God, all things are possible. You knowing Jesus and his love, you coming to know him is a miracle. That's a witness to this world for all that God can do all things and all things are possible. I love this story because it reminds me that the work of God in my life is a miracle. It has nothing to do with me, and it has everything to do with what Jesus did for me. It has nothing to do with my ability to recognize Jesus and my ability to figure life out. It has everything to do with what Christ has already done for me in his death on the cross and in his resurrection. It has nothing to do with our merit. It has everything to do with the work of love on our behalf. It is grace. God's grace and his mercy towards sinners, towards unbelievers who even walk away from him brokenhearted. You, as followers of Christ, are miracles of the living God who can do the impossible. See, Jesus shows his followers the truth that only God can bring us to God. When Jesus says to us, hey, mortals, it's impossible. This shouldn't lead us to despair, but joy, because it's the humbling answer we need. You know, the first step in Alcoholics Anonymous, this is beautiful. The first step, step one, is I came to believe that I was powerless over alcohol and my life had become unmanageable. That's what Jesus is saying. Mortal, your life is unmanageable. And that news is good news because it frees us from thinking that we can figure it out on our own and throws us into the arms of the merciful God who can do all things. The addiction you struggle with, the grudges you hold on to, the pain that exists between you and a loved one, all the people you know who don't believe, the people you love and care about and are praying for and are hoping they'll believe. Guess what? In our mortal strength, it is impossible. We can't fix all the messes in our lives and in our friends' lives and in our families' lives. It's impossible on our own merit. But for God, all things are possible. Here are some concrete things we can do with this message today. For those of you who are unsure, for those of you who don't believe, I want you to know this. I can't make you believe. You can't make yourself believe. It will take a miracle of God for you to believe. But God is bigger than all of our impossibilities. For God, all things are possible. His belief in and love for you is always bigger than your inability to believe in him. So my hope and prayer for you this year is that you might consider this year that there is a God who can do impossible things, and that there is a God who loves you and wants to come into your life and challenge you and change you and show you that you're made for loving him and loving others. I invite you this year to stick around this community. We're a community that seeks to love and show God's love, and you're welcomed here. All are welcomed here, whatever they believe, whatever they're struggling with, whatever they're going through. This is a place where you are welcome to come and to hear and to listen and to gather with others and figure these things out. But I want you to know this year that for God, all things are possible. Even changing your unbelief, even changing the difficult things you're going through, even coming to you and loving and showing you that love. For those of you who believe, the first thing for you to do this year is to resolve this year to believe that for God all things are possible. We forget that every day. I know I do. I live my life being so rational, and it's so easy to look at the world and to get pessimistic and think that things won't change. But God does the impossible all the time. And if God can move someone from unbelief to belief, then he can do anything. We've seen people here, adults change, adults come to believe, people who grew up with no religious background all of a sudden coming to believe in Jesus, believing that there was this carpenter's son 2,000 years ago who was the Messiah, who became King of Kings, who died for us and rose again. That people coming to believe that today is a miraculous work of God. And it happens time and time again, because for God all things are possible, and God is a living God who shows himself to people time and time again and day after day after day. And God wants to do that and does that. And if he can do that and has done that in our lives, then we should remember that and know that and rejoice in that and remember always that these things are possible. And because for God all things are possible, and because he has given you life, you are now someone who can live and keep God's commandments to love God and to love others. The call to keep his commandments is a real call that we are meant to live. You can love God and love others. And now by his grace, you have the power to do that. Here is one amazing promise that comes from the scriptures, that in Christ, we now have the power of his Holy Spirit at work in us. We're not left alone. God's Spirit is at work in our lives. God's Spirit is at work in the lives of those of us in this community. The scriptures actually say this, for we are what he has made us in Christ, created for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. There is a way of life we are meant to live, and in Christ we can do that. In Christ we can love God and love others. Now, to say love God and love others is extremely vague. And when you shoot for everything, you'll hit absolutely nothing. Think about a specific way that you can love God or love others this year. There was a man named Ron Hutchcraft. I heard him give a talk 20 years ago. He used to speak at youth rallies. And the title of his talk was, Stop Giving Your Life to Jesus. Sounds like a really bad title for a talk. But his point was this. He'd give these talks and kids would come to believe in Jesus. And they'd say, I gave Jesus my life. And then nothing would happen. And his point was, don't tell me you gave your life to Jesus. Okay, you believe in Jesus now. You have the power of the Holy Spirit now. Now, get to the good work of loving God and loving others and be specific and concrete. So pick something this year. Think of one or two specific ways that God is calling you to love him or that God is calling you to reach out and love others. We have these Connect cards in the seats and they're there so that we can respond to the sermon or we can respond to what we've heard today. I invite you to grab a card and to think. How is God calling you to love others? Or how is God calling you to love him this year? If you're unsure of what you believe, on the back of that card we have, my next step is, and one of them is, my next step is becoming a follower of Jesus or learning more about that. If that's you, let us know. We have a group of people that pray together on Mondays, and we would love to reach out to you and connect with you and help you follow Jesus. If you're someone who's committed to following Christ, think about something this year. Get specific, get concrete. Maybe you're going to commit to learning more about God this year by reading the scriptures and praying. If that's you, share that with us. We want to pray for you and pray that you would keep up with that and that you'd learn more about God this year. Some of us are actually doing a Bible reading plan. You could write on that card and say, my next step is I want to join in and be a part of that. A lot of us are getting together online and we're trying to read the scriptures together this year. You could join in on that. Maybe you're going to love your neighbors this year. Maybe you can make a real commitment, not just to say hi and to wave to the people across the street, but to get to them the names of everybody on your block. There's this fantastic book. It's called The Art of Neighboring. It was written by these two pastors, and they did something really awesome. They got together with 20 churches, and they went to the mayor of their town. It was a kind of a city in Colorado. And they went to the mayor and the councilwomen and the councilmen, and they said, hey, what can these churches do to help the city? And the mayor came back to them, and they said, what we need you guys to do is to be good neighbors. We have lots of people calling us, saying we need to start this new program, we need to fix this thing. And every program we start and everything we do, it doesn't really fix things. What we need is people on the ground reaching out and loving their neighbors and handling things, because the people that know other people, they're really the ones who can love and care for each other. The mayor came back to them and said, hey, churches, this is what we need you to do. We need you to do exactly what Jesus has been telling you to do all along. We need you to be the church. This is a guy who wasn't a Christian. He was just saying, what I need you to do is to love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe that's something we can do this year. Maybe that's something you want to try to figure out how to do better. That might even feel impossible. It might feel impossible to you to go and knock on the neighbor's door across the street or bake them something or go in and seek to become friends and care for them this year. But for God, all things are possible. Take that step. Let us know if you want to take that step. We want to pray for you. Maybe you need to grab on to one of those Ten Commandments this year. Maybe you need to grab on to those things. Maybe you're struggling with anger and want to let that go this year. Maybe you're struggling with faithfulness this year to your spouse or to your family. That might be hard to write that one down, but if you're going through that, that's what you need to think about. And we want to pray for people who struggle with those things. And maybe you don't want to write that down on a card, but you could come talk to me about that. We could set you up with people who could help you with those things. But we want to be a community that helps us live and follow and love God and love others this year. So maybe there's one of those things in those Ten Commands that you want to follow. Maybe it's something else, a person in your life, a friends or family that you know that don't know Jesus, that are so far away. And maybe you're going to commit to praying for them this year. And maybe you're going to commit to a special, specific way that you're going to reach out and find new ways to love them and new ways to show them who Jesus is and new ways to show them that God loves them. Whatever it is, think about it, pray about it, consider it, but pick some concrete ways. And know that for God, all things are possible. Even you being transformed, even though those around you being transformed and coming to know him, even us growing as Christians who really genuinely can grow in loving God and loving others. If we made this our resolution, if we really believed that for God, all things are possible, even if 8% of us believed that, then we would love God and others in the power of his Holy Spirit this year. If 8% of us did that, we would do some bold, amazing things that would show this county and the towns around us and our friends and family just how good God is. And if 20 or 30 or 50% of us really believe this year that for God, all things are possible, then maybe something amazing would happen this year. Maybe some beautiful things that we don't even know or understand yet would happen because a community chose together to believe that with God, all things are possible. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for a new year. We thank you for each good day that you give us. God, we thank you that with you, everything is possible, that you are the God of the impossible. Lord, I pray that this year we'd be a community that grows in loving you, that grows in loving others, that grows in following you. I pray for those of us here who are doubting, who are struggling, who are going through pains that we might not know or understand, that for you, that for them, there'd be a special word to them today, that you can do the impossible, and that you love them, and that you care for them. And I pray for all of us who are thinking about those around us who need your love and need your goodness, that we would trust and believe that with you, all things are possible, and that you would ignite a fire in us, a hope in us, a call to us to be about the good change that you want to see happen in this world, and that you would call on us as followers of you to give all that we have to loving you and to showing your love to others. It's in your name we pray. Amen.